This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, new Commodores. I'm Sophia, and I'm here with Dean of the Martha River Ingram Commons, Melissa Grisolfi, for our first Q&A with the Dean podcast this year. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. A little sleep deprived. So I have a few basic questions to ask you on this episode because it's going to be our first for the year, and I think the freshmen probably definitely want to get to know you, get to know some advice that you might have. So I guess I'll just start off with, do you have anything that freshmen should really know? Like anything that you think is maybe general knowledge, but you just think it's very important?
Yeah, I have lots of things that I actually am not sure that everybody knows coming into college. First and foremost, is that you should really read the syllabus of every single class really carefully. Different professors have really different policies, and those policies matter. So, for example, I think everybody knows that we now have this tool called ChatGPT as an AI tool that can actually generate a lot of information for you. And in some classes, you're allowed to use AI. And there'll be guidelines and parameters about how you can use AI. And in other classes, you are absolutely forbidden. And if you do, then that's an honor code violation. And so you really want to know, like, what are the rules in the class that I'm in? And how do I make sure that I'm doing the right thing? Also, related to that, you should look across the deadlines in all your classes and enter them into your calendar. Because if you can see that you have a week where you have, you know, two tests and a paper or, you know, just a really intense week, you can always ask your professor for an extension. And the more in advance you ask for that extension, the more likely you are to get it, because it shows that you're really trying to anticipate your time, you're taking responsibility for your time, and not that you just sort of messed up. And so I think a lot of the time students don't realize that they can ask for things in their class. It's a relationship. It's not a dictatorship. And so you want to sort of look at, are there times where I'm going to need a little bit of assistance and reach out about that. My second piece of advice is to go to office hours, to go early in the semester, meet your professor, try to get to know something about them, ask them a question about their class. Professors are teaching things that they love. They get really excited when students are interested in it. And also it gives your professor a chance to get to know you. And that's a really important part of your experience here.
That's great advice. I heard about the first piece beforehand, before coming to college, actually, I think from my Door for a Day leader. And I never really thought about how I took that. And I never forgot it. So there's that. And then another question would be, just since you've been Dean of the Commons for a little bit now, is there any pretty universal experience that you see and you think, oh, that's really fun, or maybe even like everyone goes through that, just something that might make people feel less alone if they end up going through that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So this is my fifth year of being Dean of Commons. And I mean, our students are really amazing and different, and people come up with different experiences and ideas all the time. But there are, you're right, some commonalities that people experience. And the big thing, I think, is that everyone experiences times of loneliness and homesickness. For some people, those times are brief. And for other people, those times are really extended. Because people form friendships in different ways. They're looking for different kinds of people. And that is all completely normal. It's completely normal to actually have met people you like and still be missing home. It's completely normal for it to be like the end of the first semester and not to have met anyone that you really connect with, especially if you tend to be someone who's a little bit more quiet and you like to also hang out with people who are a little bit more quiet. You know, quiet people are not standing in the middle of the field like announcing themselves, right? And so One of the things that happens is that students sort of sometimes reach a point where they think, this has been long enough. It has taken me too long to meet someone. There must be something wrong with me, or there must be something wrong with this place. And actually, no, right? It's just that sometimes making friends takes time. The flip of that, and that what makes this whole situation worse, is that people almost never tell each other when they're sad. You know, like by default, when you say, how are you doing? People usually say fine. I have office hours that I offer every week, and people can sign up and come to my office and talk to me. And I've been doing that for 4 years. So people almost always come to talk to me about being homesick. And especially in October, that's when that topic really starts to come up, because people have been here long enough that they feel like, shouldn't I be over this by now? And given the number of people who come to talk to me about this, this is how I know that, like, no, you don't need to have been over it. And it's actually pretty typical. But most people on campus act like everything is fine. And that makes it worse, right? Because right. If you're feeling a little sad or a little lonely, and you look around and it seems like everyone else is fine, then not only are you sad and lonely, but then you also think, what's wrong with me? And that makes the whole situation worse. And so from my perch, I can see there's nothing wrong with you. Actually, a lot of people feel just like you do. You're just all pretending. And so when students come and talk to me about this, one of the things I ask them regularly is, because usually people have someone to eat lunch with, or they're not isolated, right? They're just not feeling connected. And so, or, you know, someone on their hall is perfectly nice, or maybe their roommate is perfectly nice. And so I'll say, have you told someone that you're feeling this way? Like, have you said, I'm feeling a little lonely and homesick? And 9 times out of 10, people say, no, I don't want to be the one who brings other people down. Everyone else is doing fine. I'm feeling kind of embarrassed. I'm like, please believe me when I say you are not the only one feeling this way. And if you say, I'm feeling kind of sad, not only does that help the people around you to connect with you, it also helps the people around you to feel like they can be honest too. So that's a really important thing to do if you can.
I know you said you came from Michigan. Mm-hmm. I know you brought your family, so you weren't completely alone, but did you ever feel homesick?
Oh my gosh, yes. So I am a person who, even as a child, did not really love sleepaways. My first time I went to overnight camp was, my first and only time I went to overnight camp was really difficult. My freshman year was very difficult for me. And in fact, I still really, I like to be with my family. As you get to be an adult, you know, like that homesickness changes a little bit because you start to get to establish your own home. That feeling of not wanting to be separated from the familiar, I still feel that way. And the big difference between being 18 and 45, which is what I am, is the number of times I've had that experience and how it allows me to put it into context. And so now when I'm going somewhere I was just in Portugal by myself, away without my family for a week in May, and I was really dreading that trip. How cool is Portugal? It was an invited workshop, so it was, you know, an honor that I was invited. So I said yes, like no one forced me to say yes. So there were all kinds of good things about it. But as the date loomed, I got more and more sort of anxious about going, and I said to my husband, I really don't want to go. And we've been married for 21 years, so he said to me, you always feel this way before you go on a trip, and then you get there, and you're fine. And when you come back, you're really grateful that you went. And that's true. And being able to say, oh, right, this is this phase of the feeling. It doesn't make it feel any less terrible, right? Like, and everyone's going to have periods of loneliness throughout their whole life. The difference between the loneliness you feel as a first-year student versus the loneliness you feel like as a 40-year-old is that you can put it into some kind of context. And so when I was a freshman and I was homesick and lonely, I also was anxious about feeling homesick and lonely because I thought it said that there was something wrong with me. And I didn't have faith that it was ever going to end. And of course it did end. There's nothing wrong with me. And so now when I have that feeling, I can say, oh, I know what this feeling is. This is loneliness. And I don't need to feel anxious about this. I can just say, oh yeah, I hate this part where I'm by myself, and it will end. And that's really, that really is what happens. And there's no one who hasn't felt this way at some point.
So obviously once you come to college, there's a very like common saying where it's like my new home, or like even just the school will be like, welcome to your new home. Mm-hmm. And I think it's often where there's a lot of stories of like, I toured the campus and I automatically felt at home. Do you have any advice for people that are like struggling to feel like it's their new home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, I get why people say that, because we want people to feel like they can breathe out when they're here. Because if you're constantly feeling like you're kind of on edge, that's exhausting. It's actually not good for you. It's going to inhibit your learning, right? So we want the commons to be a place where you can breathe out. And that is what home often feels like. But I also think it creates an expectation that is a little bit false. And it's similar to when people say, like, college is the best time of your life. And then if you're like, well, I'm not having a good time, right? Because yeah. There's something wrong with me. Am I wasting my opportunity? So I'll tell you, like, I never really loved the place I went to college. I didn't feel homesick all 4 years, but it never felt like home to me. But I got a great education there. I got directly into graduate school out of undergrad at Stanford, right? So they clearly prepared me academically for what was to come. I met my husband in an undergraduate. That was a great thing to happen. My best friend still, my absolute best friend, we met in college, our first year in college. And so I think it can be helpful to say, I hope this place feels like home for you. I hope these are great years of your life. But mostly I just hope that you look back and say, that was a good experience for me. And I think that's I hope for the big thing, but the reality is we don't all have to have every year of our life be the best year ever. And to not have that as the expectation of what's normal, I think can be really reassuring.
I definitely think in order to make a place your home, you kind of got to put down roots a little bit. So I think one of the best ways to do that is like reach out to meet new people, join organizations. Do you have any advice on how freshmen can really get on that?
Well, you're absolutely right. Like when you meet people, that's when someplace feels comfortable for you, right? So we have over 450 student organizations here. So I can guarantee that everyone, there is a student org for you. But it can be a little bit tricky to find it. So one thing is there's a student org fair for all students that happens. I can't remember offhand, but it's in the orientation schedule. You should definitely go. And then you should also look around for events on campus that sound interesting to you, because if there's something, so if you haven't met someone that you're really connecting with yet, and so you go to a dinner with a speaker who sounds interesting, the other people who come to that dinner because it sounded interesting, they automatically have at least one thing in common, right? Which is that they thought going to that dinner was a good idea. And in the world where, this is a really diverse student body, you may meet people that you don't have very much in common with. Finding points of commonality is really exactly that is the basis of friendship. And so you really do, if you're going to find your place or even like start to feel comfortable, you do need to just go to things. You need to go to the student org fair. You need to go to that first meeting of a student org that kind of sounds interesting to you. You need to come to a talk or a dinner. When someone invites you to go have coffee, just do it. Because those are the ways that you really are making connections.
Right. So kind of just like if you have nothing to say, maybe just bring up the fact that you're both in the same place right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great.
I think that's great. Well, I really enjoyed talking to you. You're very, very good conversationalist.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for letting us have you. This is with Dean Grasselfi, and that's all for today in Q&A with the Dean. I'm your host, Sophia, and thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to campus, and welcome to the Commons Calendar, your source for learning about upcoming campus events. I'm Anya Kleinlein, hosting this week's episode, and here's everything you need to know for this week. On Wednesday the 23rd, join the Office of Greek Life at 5:30 p.m. to learn about the campus's social Greek community. This will be hosted in the Langford Auditorium. For Thursday, April 24th, if you're interested in the Hoogland Undergraduate Business Program and the Data Science Program, There is a Welcome Back Ice Cream Social on Thursday, April 24th at the Buttrick Hall Terrace. Stop by anytime from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 300 university programs and student groups on campus can be intimidating, but you have the opportunity to find out which ones might be right for you at the Student Involvement Fair on Friday, August 25th. This event will start at 3 p.m. at the David Williams II Rec and Wellness Center. On Saturday, August 26th, cheer on the Doors at their first home football game. There is a Vanderbilt Student Government Fair on Sunday, August 27th. Learn about student government branches, the work they do, and how to get involved. Meet at the Leadership and Service Space from 10 a.m. to noon. There will be free food. On Monday, August 28th, in honors of Women's Equality Day, we have a chance for you to register to vote, update your voter record, and check your voter status. Meet them at the Rand Terrace from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To wrap things up, if you're interested in studying abroad, on Tuesday the 29th from noon to 3 p.m., meet in the Student Life Center Ballroom to learn about the program options and chat with the Global Education Office's advisors directly. There's even an opportunity to apply for a passport. That's all for this week's Common Calendar, but be sure to always check AngerLink for more information on dates and events. Thanks so much for listening, and now stay tuned for the Human of the Commons interview.
Hey, y'alls, I'm Chloe, here with the Humans of the Commons interview for this week, and with me here, I have Dallin Elk. Dallin is from Georgia, and he's planning on studying engineering here. So let's get to it. So, you're from Georgia.
I am.
How are the peaches there? Are they actually good?
We don't actually eat that many peaches.
Wow.
I actually personally don't like peaches. I know it's weird.
You know, that's fair.
Like, for me, it's, I don't know. We do eat peaches, but not any more than any other like state.
That weird. Would make sense.
Yeah.
Gotta share the peaches with the rest of us.
Oh, for sure. I think actually Florida grows more peaches than we do like per capita.
I could see that. I could see that. I got those two confused. I was like, which one's the peach state again? Florida, Georgia? So I got that messed up a lot. So it's literally the first week right now.
Yeah, it is.
What are we looking forward to?
We're looking forward to, oh geez, I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone. I think that, you know, Media Intensive is nice. This is like our little crew. But like, I think that it's, to meet everyone, we'll find our real crew, you know, the one that we'll run with the full semester. So we'll probably meet with these guys like once a week, but even in the semester, I'm excited to find like my little group, and also maybe, you know, party a little bit if I can find some fun stuff to do.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet like the people who live on my floor, because right now it's just a bunch of empty rooms with, you know, locked doors. I'm excited when I get to know like who I can go like knock on the door and be like, hey, you want to go out and do something?
Oh, for sure. I just hope there are those kinds of people.
Yeah.
I hope they're not all like stick up the bum, like, I don't know, not interesting fellas.
Yeah, I'm looking for some.
I need some personality.
Exactly. I need someone who can just be down to do stuff.
Yeah.
Down to go out. Like, there's no point in staying in your dorm.
For real. Yeah. I've been so annoyed by our little group because I'm like, okay, it's 8 o'clock. Like, let's go do something.
Yeah.
Let's go be interesting human beings. No, I'm so tired. I'm going to sleep. No, what the? No, we're not. Like, what?
You got to earn that tiredness by doing fun stuff.
Exactly. Like, Dave and Buster's, I could have understood, I guess.
Yeah.
The first day was abysmal. That was atrocious.
Yeah, no, it was like 7 o'clock, and I'm just like in my dorm. Like, I can't go to sleep yet.
Right. The fact that within 24 hours of arriving to Vanderbilt, I was on my computer playing League of Legends because I was bored and had nothing else to do.
Atrocious.
It was atrocious. It was so tragic. But also, like, I can't exactly blame any. Like, everyone hasn't gotten here yet. So
true.
Let's just hope that these people are interesting.
I think for sure. Once people get more settled, there should be a lot more personality going around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hopefully.
I think there's just a lot of that, you know, first time at college.
Right. It's so awkward. Like, nobody's willing to be goofy. And it's like, I don't know if you ever saw that one video of their random guy like dancing on a field. And then the second person who joins them and then starts dancing, and then suddenly like everyone begins dancing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's easy to be the first person, which is, you know, I hope what I'm trying to do is just be kind of goofy and crazy. But it's always looking for that second person who's willing to stand up and be goofy with me, that everyone else will actually break out of their shell and start being goofy, being crazy, and, you know, actually let's start like living and being mm-hmm. on our own and just doing crazy stuff and having fun and, I don't know, coming up with cool ideas. I don't know.
No, that second person makes or breaks the vibe.
Right, exactly. Because otherwise it's just one weirdo like dancing in a field.
It's like, no, and being that weirdo, that second person, you're like, yeah, someone gets it.
For sure, yeah. No, if you see someone standing in a field dancing, go dance with them. Because that's a W right there.
Yeah. Speaking of W's, we got to talk about the fish flops.
Okay, yeah.
This guy has the best shoes. Best shoe game on campus.
I do. Hopefully, if you see me walking around, ask about the fish flops. Hopefully, I'll have them. I'm trying to get a new pair so that they'll be more comfortable. But, you know, we'll see what modifications we can make.
You got to get, like, thick-soled fish flops. Yeah, I don't know if they make those, but they need to.
I don't know. I'm sure, you know, I'm an engineering major. I'm sure we can make something happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'll get a crew together on it. We'll be the fish flop crew.
Platform.
Yeah. So for those of you who like don't know, my shoes, they're basically flip flops, but they're like more like slides in reality. But they look like if you were to just catch a bass, largemouth bass, exactly, like with the green and the scales and everything. And you put your foot in and you walk around with fish on your feet. And it certainly gets a reaction. I will say this. I wore fish flops for 2 days here. And I got, 30 people talked to me about my shoes. I've worn normal shoes today and not a single person has talked to me about it.
No one cares about normal shoes.
Nobody even cares that I'm not wearing the fish flops. Yeah. It's when I wear the fish flops, everyone's talking about it 24/7. And then I leave. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm being too childish. Maybe I'm being too much of a goof. So I'll wear normal shoes for a day. And nobody's talking about it. So I'm like, why am I not wearing the fish flops?
Yeah. Don't be afraid to be someone who gets talked about because it's usually not bad stuff. It's usually just, wow, that's a really interesting person right there.
Yeah, I guess interesting has a connotation of its own, doesn't it?
Oh, that's all right. Interesting people, good, bad, interesting, they're always just going to be better than boring people.
That's so true. That is so, so very true.
So what are we nervous about? Because we're like just getting here. There's a lot of life to live on campus here in this next year.
Well, currently I'm not liking the fact that about 50% of the group I'm in actually like can tolerate me. That's not something I love.
Yeah.
So I hope that I'm nervous that that's going to continue. I would also say that I'm nervous about the fact that I'm already procrastinating my chem homework. Like I've had it for like a week and it's due September 6th and I've done the math part, but I have not done the reading at all. So, you know, Commodores, if you're procrastinating on that, I'm with you right there. I'm planning on doing it September 5th at 11 o'clock.
It'll get done. Somehow, some way, it'll get done. That's somehow, what you gotta tell yourself.
Some way, exactly. That's the mood right there.
Yeah, it's a great time to not be in Gen Chem.
No.
I have to say, just hearing people talk about it, I'm like, wow, that really sucks for you, but it couldn't be me, so.
It's something like 40% of the class is taking Gen Chem.
Yeah. Seems like a lot. And I'm very glad I'm not part of that. I'm taking astronomy and the bright space isn't even up yet. So I'm chilling, man.
Hey, just wait until like November, December. And then you could tell us if you're actually saying that when you have to go to that lab.
Oh, yeah.
Go stargaze at like 10 p.m. in the freezing cold.
Yeah, that might be.
Let me know
rough.
How that works out.
You know, I'll have a coat. It'll be fine. I'm from up north. I'm used to it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Miss Cornfield.
Yeah, we get snow up in that cornfield.
Do you have any way to get the snow off of the corn?
Well, the corn's harvested by the time the snow
comes.
Oh,
when do you harvest?
In the fall.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think.
No, that's all right. They plant winter wheat.
They plant winter wheat.
Yeah, but it's supposed to grow with the snow. Like, it's fine.
Right.
It's pretty low to the ground. It's not really
What's the difference between winter wheat and, like, you know, normal, like, cis wheat, I guess?
I mean, normal wheat, that's the kind that we would eat and stuff. Winter wheat, that's usually for animals.
Oh, does it taste weird?
It's not as good.
You've had it, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to work at a dog store, and I ate some dog treats along the way. Some of them were bad. Some of them tasted like cookies, I gotta tell you.
Were they, like, better than Rand cookies, though?
Ooh.
The fact that you have to think about that.
I mean, definitely not as sweet, but they had their own, and they didn't have chocolate in them because obviously
Well, yeah.
We're not killing the dogs.
Well, unless we want to.
Why would would we want to?
I don't know. Maybe it's a bad dog.
Still wouldn't kill it, but I don't know. If your way of death is eating a Rand cookie, there's worse ways to go.
There are definitely worse ways to go.
Yeah, so I still haven't gotten around to having one of those while I've been here.
I've had the cookie brownie type deals. I don't know what they're called.
It's a brookie.
A brookie. I've had a brookie. Those are kind of fire. I've never had the regular
traditional
cookies.
Cookie.
Yeah, the traditional cookie. Like, I don't know. I
think, it feels like a commitment to get
right?
one. No. Takes up the whole little dessert plate. It's like...
I feel like if I get it, like, I'm going to be grilled about it. Like, did you like it? Who write it? I want it down.
Everyone wants
five stars.
To know.
Like, it's a, you know, it's a task. It's a burden.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'd call it an honor. It doesn't, I don't think
I don't
it quite
think so.
Gets that level of recommendation from what I've seen other people eating Rand cookies at my table. Most people haven't actually finished them, which is not a good sign.
Yeah.
I think the Randwiches are probably better than the rookies.
Yeah, I like, you know, I feel that the dining here, there's a lot of different ways you can make it your own.
Yeah.
Especially with the sandwiches. Like I've had the Mediterranean. You get to like pick and choose what you want, where I feel like you can get something slightly the same every day.
Yeah.
But you can still switch it up a little bit.
So the other thing is, obviously the Rand isn't the only dining hall.
Exactly.
From what I understand, every other dining hall is all you can eat. And every university that I've been to, which is like four, has been all you can eat. So it's very weird to me that Rand is like the only one that's open and it's like not all you can eat. It's just very like, I'm excited to, because I think that's where the Freshman 15 comes in, right? Is the you can eat nonsense. So
yeah,
I think
you're loading up that plate.
Oh, for sure. Like piles of mac and cheese. That's what I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to seeing. Like, I want to go to all of them. Like, I've heard so much about like IBM, I think it's called. EBI. Why do I think it's IBM? That's another company.
At least you didn't say IBS. That would not be a good dining hall.
No, EBI. I want to go to EBI. I heard that's the like rich people dorm. So maybe we'll do a large like freshman trip to EBI. Like, because I heard
sure
it's like a trek.
I'm sure the people that live there will love that.
Well,
if just a bunch
of
freshmen came in. But
yeah,
I mean,
no,
nothing's
they can,
stopping us.
Yeah, they can cry about it, I guess.
Yeah, I once I knew a guy who ate 11 cookies at Commons.
11?
11 cookies. Jesus. Regretted it after, but... Downed him.
That's wild. Did he vomit?
No.
No?
Nope.
Wow.
He stuck it out.
Were they as big as the Rand cookies, you know?
I think they were slightly smaller than those, but like still good
size.
Yeah,
still it's still an
they
impressive
weren't minis,
feat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like 11 Oreos.
No. Like
imagine if you're
that.
Just going around and be like, I ate 11 Oreos today. Let's go.
Wow.
What an accomplishment, really.
I know.
Herculean task.
Wow. Well, I hope you're proud of yourself.
Oh,
put that
of
on
course.
Your resume. I'm sure that'll get you in anywhere.
Yeah, no. Vanderbilt would probably accept you if you ate 11 Oreos.
Yeah.
That should be your essay, honestly.
Yeah. Time I ate 11 Oreos. It was just a normal day at lunch. But, you know, I felt like being amazing that day, so friends gave me some extras and I made it happen.
You know, my sister has the weirdest thing with Oreos. She hates the cream. So she will take the Oreos off and then take like a spoon and scrape the cream off and then put the cream back into the box and eat the two cookies.
That's...
Like she's a heathen. She's a monster.
The only way that works is if there's someone who only likes the cream and doesn't
right.
like the cookies and you're sharing the same box. Otherwise, why are you doing that?
So I walked into my closet like 2 days before I was about to leave to Vanderbilt and I opened the Oreo box because I was packing for the trip. I was like, okay, it's a 4.5 hour drive. I'm going to want some Oreos. And I opened it up and it was just like, I think 15 or 20 things of cream. There's no cookies in there. It was just the cream just sitting there. I was like, what are
that's
you doing?
Awful.
It was one of the, like, it was so weird because if you've ever seen cream without, it's like seeing a fish out of water.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing here?
It was so out of place.
It's like the organs of the cookie. No, what exactly. is it doing without like the skin on it?
Exactly. It's like if you were to see a Rand cookie at EBI.
Yeah. What are you doing here? This isn't where you're supposed to be. Get back. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
And the dedication with the spoon.
Right?
Like, not even letting your fingers touch it.
No.
Scrape it up.
Well,
no, you need the
I
spoon.
Think that's because my parents would, like, yell at her. Like, they're kind of... My stepdad used to own a, like, a coffee shop. So he's like kind of a health freak.
Okay.
So if you touch food with your hands, you eat it. And she didn't want to eat it, so she couldn't touch it with her hands.
Yeah.
It was a whole deal.
You know, we live by the 5-second rule, but if that doesn't work, then you can just add another 5 seconds.
Until it works. Yeah. Just leave it there. Like, hour later. I could just add the 5-second rule a couple more times.
Definitely not gonna live by that here.
Oh, for sure.
There's too many people, too much stuff going on.
God, could you imagine how many like infections you would have? Your stomach would be revolting against you.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be. It would not be good.
Your organs would lead a coup.
Oh man. I can't have that happen. I can't afford that.
Right? Can we imagine? Could you imagine like how much class you'd miss? Just
my goodness.
Dang it, 5-second rule.
Yeah. No, so that's going to have to be left back in the Midwest for me.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
I'll return to it on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. You drop the whole turkey on the floor and be like, fine. 1, 2. Yeah.
I'll pick it up when I feel like it.
Right.
No.
So is there different like Thanksgiving traditions out in the Midwest?
I don't think so.
Like, I mean, y'all do the whole cranberry sauce.
Yeah, we got cranberry sauce.
Sweet potato casserole. Yep. Okay. I thought it's always been very Southern for me, but like, because it's like the only time I eat Southern food.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much the same in the Midwest. I mean, we're big on casseroles. Like, everything is a casserole.
There's corn casserole,
broccoli casserole.
Broccoli casserole.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's broccoli, and then there's like cream of mushroom soup.
Okay.
Yeah, soups are casserole ingredients, hardcore in the Midwest. Like cream of chicken, cream of mushroom. That's all.
That's wild.
Sometimes there's actual mushrooms in it. Sometimes not. There can be cheese in there. There's not usually when we make it. And then you top it with the like fried onion pieces.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then that's the casserole.
I'm sorry, but that truly does. I don't think I would partake. I don't like half of those ingredients.
Yeah, no, it's not good. But you just have to eat it on Thanksgiving. That's the.
It's like they just shove it down your throat.
Yeah.
So how many casseroles would you say you see? Do they do the? When we do a sweet potato casserole, we put like marshmallows on the top.
Oh yeah, we do that
on broccoli casserole as well.
No.
Oh, on which casseroles? Just a sweet potato.
Just a sweet potato.
Okay.
It's got to be with the sweet.
Oh yeah, I guess it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't. I don't know. I don't think you'd want a marshmallow and a piece of broccoli.
Do you think we're going to have like casseroles in the dining halls here?
Oh, I doubt it. They're kind of complicated to make.
That's
from what
true.
I understand. Like, I've watched a little bit too much Young Sheldon to not think that they're so hard, because every time we pan in on the mom doing anything, she's like, oh no, I got to finish this casserole.
I have to say, really, casseroles... It depends on what kind you're making. If you're making an easy casserole, it's just throw things in a dish and throw it in the oven.
See, that's the way I like
some,
to cook.
Yeah, there are some more complicated ones where you got to layer things. And
do you make any casseroles yourself?
Usually not. I have made a few, though.
Okay.
I'm more of the throw it all in type person.
That seems like you.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you definitely seem like the, what are all these doing here? Into the bowl.
Yeah, it's just got to get done. I don't have time to be a fancy with this.
I think watching you make a lasagna would be really funny.
I should do that sometime.
Like, it's just see how fast you lose your patience.
I my grandmother, you know, little Italian old woman, she
naturally
made tons of lasagnas in her day, and I'm just like, you spent your whole day doing this. Wow.
That's what a productive use of your time.
I know.
Could have just gotten a bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah, that and... I don't even know what one does when you're an old lady and you're Italian.
Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with it, but I feel like you picture who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
I say
no, for sure.
Italian woman.
You know, like
we all know that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I read this article the other day. It was like Italians and Jews have the exact same culture, apparently. I don't know much about Italian culture, but apparently Italian grandmas and Jewish grandmas are the exact same people.
From what I know, I can see that.
Like, they both make an absurd amount of cooking.
Oh, yeah.
They're both very generous to people inside their family.
Oh, yeah.
But both, like, they both have very strong, like, familial customs, like, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I don't really know any. I don't know. I'm Jewish, and I still don't know any more traits of a Jewish grandma.
No, that's okay. This is all lining up with my little
Yeah,
Italian
this
one.
Is, like, pretty all standard.
Yeah.
I think just like it's like the food they make is different, because like we make a lot of matzo ball soup, mm-hmm. And obviously yours makes lasagnas. I don't think I've ever seen my grandmother make a lasagna.
You know, there's lots of lasagna, lots of pasta.
Yeah.
She also bakes
okay.
a lot, so there's that. But, yeah, no, she has tons of recipes. It's all good.
Does she have, like, one of the old-style recipe books?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you're going to be the one to inherit that?
Ooh, I don't know, because I just don't have that skill.
Does anybody, like, in your generation of the family have that skill?
Not really, so I don't know what's going
to
happen.
It's like a coin flip.
It's probably going to end up going to me, and it's just going to sit in my kitchen collecting dust.
Hey, I don't know. Maybe whoever you end up with, they'll like cooking.
Oh, let's hope, because it can't be me.
I don't know. You have a boyfriend. Does he cook?
He has not even ever boiled a pot of water before.
No way.
I'm not kidding.
How is he in university and has never cooked?
I think, actually, he might have done it a little bit ago, but it was for the longest time not a skill that he possessed.
What? So, in the world?
I'm sorry. It's only child syndrome, I tell ya.
Yeah.
This kid's an only child. I'm sorry. If you're an only child...
Message my commons life. If you're an only child, do you know how to cook? Are you the cooker of your family? Or
yeah, because I highly doubt you are. There's probably many things that you do not know.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a brother.
Older or younger?
Older.
He went here?
No, he didn't. He's in his senior year back in Illinois.
Oh, okay. So, of college.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so weird now that we're saying that. It's like when we say senior year, that means senior year of college. It's like we're resetting, you know what I
know.
Mean?
It's like I'm a freshman. Do you know how awful that is?
Unbelievable.
I was a senior. I was at the top. I was the best. And then I graduated and it was all over. Nobody cares.
Now we're at the bottom of the food chain.
I know.
I don't know. I think a lot of it is like now we just kind of put our heads down and live our life.
Yeah. I feel, I don't know what's worse, being called a freshman or a first year. I feel
I think first year's way cooler.
First year has a little more dignity.
Yeah, it makes me think like maybe we're in Hogwarts.
Yeah. You know, like I feel like I'm on the start of something.
Yeah.
Whereas freshman's so derogatory.
It's like an ageist slur.
I know.
Silly
like
freshman.
The word freshman makes me want it to be May when I can finally say I'm not a freshman. And I don't really want that. I want to have the experiences of my freshman year, but...
No, I think first year works. Like,
yeah.
Because also, like, a lot of us are going to stick around for, like, MBAs and other, you know, graduate degrees.
Yeah.
And also, you know, some of us are probably graduating early or late, depending on how fast you go, and everyone has their own path. So I think it makes sense to stay with first year, and then that way it just kind of removes all the judgment.
Yeah.
Then I guess my question would be, if you were to transfer, like, from another school... Like, are you a first year of Vanderbilt? But you have the classes of, like, credit hours of a second year.
I think you would not refer to yourself as a first year.
I think it's like you transfer. Yeah, I think if you were to do 1 year at another college and then transfer, you'd be a second year.
Yeah.
Because it's not about your time at Vanderbilt, it's about your time at university.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, yeah, you're right.
I think also doing it by year because, like, some people, you know, take more than 4 years.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, they're not really, like, a... fourth year senior, like they're a fifth year senior,
right.
But why do we still have to include the word senior in there?
No, exactly. That's kind of goofy.
Leave that in high school, man.
Yeah. I don't think I knew anybody who was a fifth year senior in high school. Is that common in the cornfields of Illinois?
We've had a few. It's usually not that common.
So you obviously go into a great school. Are you, like, where did you place in your school? Like, were you, like, the top dog?
Yeah.
In terms of academics?
I was valedictorian.
Okay,
was
really?
Top. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that pretty common? Like, you get one person who, like, goes off and actually does something with their life and everyone else is a cornhusker?
Not gonna lie, kind of. There are a few people who, like, they're going to pretty good schools, but, like...
What's pretty good?
Like, U of I.
Okay.
So, I mean... Like, they still had to, like, work to get into it.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's a few. I know...
There's nothing wrong with, like...
Some people are going to, like, some school in Colorado. A lot go to Iowa State for some reason.
That's very random.
Yeah, like, why would you go to Iowa?
But yeah, it's just...
Iowa's worse than Illinois in terms of, like, things that there are.
Yeah. Like, when we, you know, especially our, like, instructor Jim, like, when he was talking to you about being a cornhusker, like... Cornfield Chloe, we all thought you were Iowa because it made more sense.
Yeah. No, the Midwest is very large, but I feel like Iowa's the like pinnacle of...
Oh, for sure.
There is nothing here.
It's your poster boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Illinois, we got Chicago. We got a few other places.
Like
but
Ash Ketchum is to Pokemon as Iowa is to the Midwest.
Yes. That's the way to describe it for sure. Oh man. If any of else or you listen to this are Midwest people, yeah. If you're from like Chicago, I don't know. That's you're like city Midwest. Like, that's different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if you were in like St. Louis, Missouri, like you're not in the cornfields or the wheat fields, you
There's
know.
There's a big difference.
Yeah. I wanted to go to Missouri this year for summer break. I never got the chance though.
And every state there's like no state is completely barren of stuff to do. There's just some that, well, maybe Iowa, but I'm sorry. The Iowa slander is for real. I can't help myself.
It's funny because typically like every other state, it's like, I don't know. I hear a lot of Florida slander. I hear a lot of New Jersey slander, lots of New Jersey slander. But I don't think I've heard Iowa slander before. That's interesting. That's new.
There's literally nothing wrong with it. There's just nothing right with it. it's completely nothing. There's the largest truck stop is in Iowa.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool to see. I've been there a few times, just like on the way to things.
I think you need to find someone from Iowa and have them as the next guest on your show.
I need to.
I think if you're from Iowa, come and pull up and fight Chloe.
For real.
She challenges you.
We can fight verbally. I'll also fight physically. I'm not above that.
What's the? I think we could find an interesting name for this, like a Midwestern. I was gonna say like SmackDown, but like MacDown. I don't know. I feel like
we gotta find the alliteration.
Yeah, we gotta find the alliteration. We can do it. We can do it.
This is gonna take some workshopping.
Yeah.
It'll happen, man. It'll happen.
Midwestern man wrestling.
Yes, I am. Man wrestling.
Oh, naturally, of course. Mm-hmm. What's like a sport that starts with M? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
That's probably a really obvious
manatee
one.
Manatee wrangling.
Is that something that they do in like Florida or something?
No, I'm just...
I'd watch that.
You would watch manatee wrangling?
It's got to be interesting. Like, how do you do that, man?
Okay, but I'm sure like... I bet there are other animals that'd be way cooler than manatees. Like, manatees are just slow. They're called sea cows.
That's true.
That's like... I mean... Okay, but like manatee tipping, if they're cow tipping, maybe sea cow tipping.
Cow tipping is kind of fun.
I have actually never seen it. I kind of have heard of it like slightly, but I don't know anybody who knows of anything about it.
About cow tipping?
About cow tipping.
You really gotta like, it's not as fun. Well, I don't know if it even seems fun.
I mean, I don't know. It just seems kind of troll.
Yeah, like there's really no point to do it, but there's nothing else to do.
It just seems like I want to cause another being misery, so I'm going to tip this cow.
It's pretty much that.
I don't know.
It's when you've run out of ideas for things to do.
Let's just run into cows and see if we can knock them over.
Yeah.
What is like an activity right before cow tipping?
Driving around and finding the nearest Walmart and sitting in the parking lot in your car
and doing nothing.
Yeah, like you could go into Walmart and walk around. You're not gonna buy anything though.
Well, why would you? It's Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean, the store is not for buying things. It's for walking around and pretending like you are.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think our generation kind of grew up in the parking lots of Walmart.
It's a sacred place.
Oh, for sure. None of the city folk would understand.
No.
I'm suburban, so I'm like, you know.
Okay. I can respect suburban people slightly.
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 That's okay. I'm okay with slightly. Yeah. That means we can earn it. You know, when you have no respect for someone, there's no like, I mean, it's not like Sing where it's like, you know what the good thing about rock bottom is? The only way to go is up. No, no, no. There's no going up from no respect.
And I feel like the people I really have no respect for are... If you're an only child from Iowa, I feel like I just have to combine the two things into
What if you're an only child that can cook from Iowa?
Okay, then you're okay.
Yeah, I feel like that like redeems you a little bit.
A little bit, skill. Yeah. Yeah. Also, you need to know how to fight.
In what sense?
In like Iowa.
Like with your hands? Or like... With swords? Like, with a gun?
A knife? I feel like sword fighting is pretty cool.
Right? Okay, can we talk about how cool it would be if, like, suddenly, like, some mystical Thanos, like, snapped their fingers and every weapon, like, more advanced than, like, a sword was just gone and all armies were resorted to sword fighting.
All swords.
Like, that would be way cooler.
It would.
Probably a lot less deadly, too.
Honestly, yeah.
I think it'd save a lot of lives.
It would.
I think swords are sick.
Like, yeah. If I get killed with a sword, like, it was probably cool. So
It
can happen.
I know for sure that I would get killed. Like, if it were a medieval weapon that would kill me, it'd be a glaive. Like, for sure. Like a halberd. Man. One of those, like, massive weapons that I would be like, yeah, you're never going to hit me, and then just chops me, like, straight down the middle.
Just make it quick and make it cool. That's all I ask.
Right? Right?
And I feel like a sword's the way to do that.
I don't know. It depends on the sword fighter, right? If it's like some goofy, like, and it's just like the, like, stab. Like, I think getting stabbed by a sword is so not cool. But getting, like, chopped up like you're a tomato, like, that's sick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. I think there's some Lord of the Rings. Not Lord of the Rings. Well, Lord of the Rings, too. But I was thinking of Game of Thrones. Like, deaths that are way cooler than others in terms of.
Yeah.
Of stabbing versus slicing.
Gotta make it cool.
I think that by far the best sword fighters, like in any fictional thing, are like the artsy, flowy ones, you know? Not the Garen of Damascia, like knight, rigid nonsense, you know? It's all the skilled, like flowy ones who make their blade into like a dance almost. I think that's,
yeah, that's more interesting to watch also in a visual medium.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, anyone can just, like, you know, slice up, slice down, you know, blah blah, just like swinging it around. But to really make it flow and make it like you said, like a dance, like an art form.
It's like the difference between playing something like Bop It or Dance Dance Revolution versus like Just Dance.
Yeah,
like that is probably the best analogy I could probably come up with.
Which, love all those games.
Really? I think Dance Dance Revolution is like, if you're going to be good at Dance Dance, at DDR, like, you gotta do it. Like, I have a friend who's nationally, like, ranked. His name's like Julian Corkle. And he's just crazy at it. I watched him complete his first, like, of the hardest levels. And he had the entire arcade just, like, sitting there watching him. He goes, like, twice a week. Every time. Wow. It's his whole, like, gym workout. Like, he doesn't do leg day. He does DDR.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much a substitute for leg day right there.
Yeah, no, he brings pre-workout to his DDR.
Oh, man.
Because he's, like, he takes it that seriously. It's really crazy.
Wow. So that's a skill that, like, I think would just be so niche. That'd be awesome to have.
Right? Yeah.
Like, who else is doing that?
No, for real. Well, it's, like, part of it is the fact that he's, like, so quick, but also he's like, the fact that you can look at the arrows and, like, think about it that fast.
I know. You got to be, like, have some pretty quick, like, firing going on in that brain.
Right. Like, I watch it and I'm like, I still don't even know what arrows you're hitting. Never mind the feet that are doing the same thing. Yeah. Like, that's wild.
I'd say the coordination, man.
Yeah. I would never. I think rhythm games in general are all kind of like that.
Yeah.
Other than maybe Piano Tiles. That one's kind of
I played a lot of Piano Tiles back in the day.
Yeah. I did too. That's how I know. Like, I compare Piano Tiles to, like, Osu, and I'm like, these are different games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have major respect for anyone who's just really good at something.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just the most, like, niche thing.
Right, and they just do it because they love it.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason they don't care, like, who knows or anything.
I know. Something about having the passion to get just really good at it. And even if you're not really good at something, just that passion behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
To just keep doing it and keep showing up every day.
Yeah, for sure.
Amazing.
Yeah. What's your one of those?
Ooh, I'm
Is it yodeling?
We are not getting into the yodeling on this mic. Nah, I really like running.
Okay.
I know that's not very niche.
It doesn't have to be. If you're passionate about it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I did cross country kind of on a whim.
Okay.
Because I was like, well, I'm really bad at throwing and catching and kicking. So this one involves none of that. So I'm going to join it. And I ended up kind of falling in love with it.
Yeah.
I'm not a star by any chance.
You could be one day.
You never know. I'd love to be one of those people like 80 years old running marathons.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think that's attainable.
Well, and also, like, your boyfriend lives on the other side of campus, so it's kind of a nice run. You just get up in the morning, go run over your boyfriend's,
have breakfast, then come back. Ran there, ran at the rec, and then ran back. It was pretty good. So, but I, yeah, it's a good passion to have, and I may not be super fast, but I'm having a great time doing it, and yeah, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
All right. I think that's all we got time for right now, so.
Thanks for having me, Chloe.
Yeah, no problem. That's all for Humans on the Commons here with Dallin, and we'll see you next time.
CommonsCast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.